Well, as the regulars may remember, I hope they do, we are and have been looking recently at some of the things which the Lord Jesus did not do in the Garden of Gethsemane and at the cross. And this today is the last of the short series, and the title for my talk is He Didn't Come Down from the Cross. Now our reading for this morning comes from chapter 27 of the first gospel, and of the time when our Lord hung on the cross, Matthew wrote, "Those who passed by hurled insults at him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priests, with the scribes and elders said, 'He saved others. Himself he cannot save. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe on him.'" Consistent with the Roman practice of citing crucifixions in public places as a deterrent to any would-be criminals, the place of our Lord's crucifixion was beside one of the main roads into Jerusalem. And many of the stream of pilgrims on their way into the city for the Passover feast paused to shake their heads at Jesus in a gesture of contempt and to fling in his teeth the challenge, "Come down from the cross." For their part, the members of the Supreme Jewish Council, the chief priests, elders, and scribes, they'd come simply to gloat, unwilling to lower themselves to address our Lord directly. They spoke, as Mark tells us in his account, to one another, calling out sarcastically in a stage whisper meant for his ears, "He is the King of Israel. King of Israel, who are you kidding? Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." And from both of these very different groups, therefore, came the same challenge. "Come down from the cross." That was, so to speak, the gauntlet that they threw at his feet. But no, he didn't. And he wouldn't come down. Shortly before, he had refused to ease and alleviate his sufferings by drinking from the drug wine which he'd been offered. Now he refused to evade and end those same sufferings by descending from the cross where he had been nailed. You all know why. In one sense, the Jewish leaders hit the nail on the head when they sneered, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save." For that was the very choice he faced. To come down from the cross and so save himself, or to remain there that he might save others. Little did these men know that it took more love to keep him on the cross than it would have taken power to get him down from it. Before leaving the upper room for the Garden of Gethsemane the previous evening, our Lord had sung a section of the book of the Psalms with his disciples. It was known as the Hallel. Among the very last words he sang, with reference to the Jewish Passover festival, the words were, "Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. But what I ask," and speaking metaphorically, "were the cords which would bind him, which would bind Christ our Passover, to his altar, to the cross." Make no mistake, it was neither the strength of the nails nor the power of Rome which held my Lord fast to that tree. One of the hymns we often sing here on a Lord's Day has a splendid line which reads, It was my sin that held him there. In part, at least, that is right. Was in fact the combination of my sin and need and of his love and compassion which prevented the Saviour from coming down from his cross. Yesterday afternoon I read a short novel by a 19th century Danish author, translated into English, or it would have been double Dutch to me. I don't have time to fill in the details, but the storyline centred around a plague, in the town of Bergamo in Italy. And the novel climaxes with a scene in a long-abandoned cathedral, where an unruly mob led by the local butcher came to ridicule a group of visiting worshippers who'd gone there to pray. The mob felt, the writer said, satisfaction in knowing that each of their blasphemies was a sting in the hearts of these worshippers. Then one among the worshippers, he wrote, a young monk, rose up and preached concerning God's law, that every transgression, and I'm quoting, that every transgression of which they were guilty would be counted against them. But, our author put into the monk's mouth, but you will say, Christ died for our sins. But I say to you that hell will not be cheated of a single one of you. You build upon the cross of Golgotha. Come and look at it. And then, having briefly described the actual crucifying of Jesus, the monk continued. He on the cross looked down on the soldiers who were casting lots for his unstitched garment, and on the turbulent mob for whose sake he suffered. Those below called out to him, the monk added, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Then, the monk cried, he, the only begotten Son of God, was filled with anger, and seeing that they were not worthy of salvation, he tore his feet free, clenched his hands round the nails and tore them out. He leapt down. He snatched up his garment, flung it round his shoulders, and ascended into heaven. The cross, the monk declared, stood empty, and the great work of redemption was never completed. There is, the monk concluded, no mediator between God and us. There is no Jesus who died for us on the cross. As he uttered those last words, the novel continued. A groan of agony went through the church. In the corners they began to weep. And then the butcher pushed forward, pale as a corpse, and shouted, Monk! Monk! You must nail him on the cross again! That's all fiction, you say. Of course it is. But think for a moment. What if the Lord Jesus had, as our author imagined the monk claiming, what if he had based his work of salvation on whether we were worthy or not? What if he had come down from the cross? But the wonder of wonders is, he didn't. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe on him. Well, he heard the Jewish rulers scoff. But the miraculous sign which Jesus was to give was not his coming down from the cross, but his coming up from the grave. I came down from heaven, he once said, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And we do well to praise God this morning that the one who, as many of us will ponder afresh in some 6 weeks' time, that the one who had 30 years before come down from his heaven did not now come down from his cross. We pray. We give thanks, O God,
for the determination of our Lord Jesus to complete that work. To see through that will he'd come down from heaven to fulfill. And to save those who did not deserve it. Sometimes saying, was it the nails, O Saviour, that held you to the tree now? Was your everlasting love. Your love for me. We are in your presence, Lord, reminded. A man in the Old Testament who was once challenged to come down and meet his opponents in some village and to leave the work of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, but who could reply, I cannot come down, for I am doing a great work. And we would hear those words almost coming from the lips of our Lord when he threw in his teeth that challenge, come down from the cross. I cannot come down. I am doing a great work. And for that work, and for him who completed it, now risen from the dead and glorified, our living Lord, for him, we give thanks. We just pray.